Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, get your feet happy. Let's go. Come on.
I'm
No matter what, he was after David. He became disobedient unto God. Saul did. He told him to kill the Amalekite and the Amalekite king. David let the people, Saul let his military men bring the spoil, the stuff of the Amalekites back over with them and brought the king and set him at his table. And the prophet Samuel come and said, Saul, what is this? Why do I hear bleeding sheep in my ear? Because see, they had brought the sheep from over there too, all the livestock. He said, well, I didn't do it. The people wanted it, and the people got it. God told you to kill all of them. He didn't tell you to let nothing live, come out what the people want. He said, kill everything over there, everything. Don't bring nothing out of there, no sheep, no gold, no silver, nothing. And the prophet Samuel fell on the Amalekites' king with the sword right there and killed him. Do y'all hear me? Why? God said, kill him. You've got to get rid of your enemies. Because, see, your enemies are laughing in your face and stab you in the back. You have to hit. When you notice your enemy, you don't play with enemies. You pray for them and you love them, but you don't trust them. You don't give them a chance to stab. And David became Saul's enemy. Now, Saul wasn't David's enemy, but David became Saul's enemy because of the way Saul was thinking. God had taken the anointing from him. And he was because of the young boy David. David killed Goliath. Took Goliath's sword. Sword bigger than he was. And Saul didn't like that. Yeah. But you know today, there's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And we got to pray. We got to pray without ceasing today. We got to constantly keep a prayer going. I don't think you don't do nothing but sing a song unto the Lord. This will help us to keep our mind on him. I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I have laughed and had a good time and played around, and now it is time to get back to serious business, Lord. Time to get back to real serious business. He blessed me this morning to get up and to come and get back in that book of Revelation. And he sent me to find some information. And what I found, it was the truth. It was the truth. And there's some things, you hear me say it, I know all the time, but there's some things coming our way next year. And we must be prepared for it. I mean, things that you never heard of happening in the United States of America. Well, they just call it the United States now. And it's like, in a form, America don't exist to even the leadership, the United States. United States of America. That's what I say. I want the Lord to bless it, but it's not my will, but his will that's going to be done. He had brought many preparation messages, and we can't ignore it. We can't ignore it. He tell us to get the whole outfit ready. Don't just get your gown and your veil. Get your matching shoes. Make sure your jewelry, you know, get ready for the wedding, because the bridegroom is coming and he's looking for his bride, and that's us. We are the church. He's at the church. Hallelujah. And he loved the church. He's the head of the church. He loved the church and he died for it. That's why when women get upset about when I say the man is the head, and they get upset about it. His word says he's the head, Christ is the head. And we got to prepare for this great wedding that we're about to really get married. So when he come back, we want to be ready to go into the wedding. He's coming back looking for a church, his church, without spot or wrinkle. And we praying that the Lord would get the spot and the wrinkles out of us. That's why I had to come back to a serious place with him. and I can't leave this place. I can't keep laughing. I can laugh now. Don't. He gave me all these emotions. But I can't spend time to just laughter and nothing else. Because you're having a good time. I'm having a good time with the laughter. And many times he speaks. You miss it because you're so busy having a good time with the laughter. So you have to take self-inventory. And if the Lord taps you on the shoulder and speaks, I promise you, you must listen. I don't care what no one else says or does. We must listen to the word of God because he's trying to tell us something. He's preparing us for something. He don't want anything to slip up on his people. But if his people so busy carried away with the things of this life, we'll miss the message of God. Hallelujah. And we don't want to miss the message. Today we have Pastor John, I'm going to try to pronounce his name, Loma King. John Lomacang, L-O-M-A-C-A-N-G. And he's bringing a special message this morning, and the title of the message is, If People Only Knew What Was Coming. If people only knew what was coming, they would prepare themselves with God. Not getting water, storing up food, because the belly going to pass away and the food if we're not careful. But what we got to prepare for is his coming and what's coming our way. We need to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and why to do it. He'll give all of this to us, but we must seek him with our whole heart. We must get in his word. He's going to direct us in his word and show us in his word he said about what's coming. Yeah. I wrote a message and I was thinking on it. And here come Pastor Loma King. Here he come. I think I'm pronouncing the name right. I hope so. I hate to mess up people's name. But here he come with this message. That was Sunday morning, and I said, Lord, I thank you. Because he gives us more than we need. If we'll pay attention, we must pay attention. He will give us more than we need. And I'm grateful unto him this morning. And I tell you, I love when the pastor pray. I love that prayer. But I go back to praying here. It's somewhat of a universal prayer. He's praying Pastor Mark Hinton. I love that prayer. But I have to go back to praying here for specific things, for specific people, because it's what God gave me to pray for here. Yeah. Widowers, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers, America, the leadership, Israel, Jerusalem, brothers and sisters overseas, America, the leadership of America. Maybe I should pray for the United States since they want to cut out America. Those that are incarcerated, the sick, everybody here, every friend of the family person here. Yeah. Because this is what I want. I don't know what's going on. He know everything. You don't tell me all this business. Because who am I? What am I going to do with it? Mess it up, if anything. So no need to tell me his business. If he speak, obey Barbara. And you don't have to be concerned about what I'm in charge of. Hallelujah. I'm Almighty God that have all power. Hey, thank you. Thank you. He hold the world. He can hold the world in his hand. The whole world. It's how big he is. He can hold the whole world in his hand. One hand. And he covers the whole world. His eyes can see everything going on with everybody. What an awesome God we serve. a magnificent God. There's no other like him. And we must remember the cross today. We must remember that God so loved us, he sent his only begotten son to suffer for us. They beat him when in the garden to pray. They said instead of like sweat coming out, blood come out. That was stress. He was under strain as a natural man, yet he was the Son of God that God sent in the flesh that he could redeem us back to him. Hallelujah. That alone right there is good news. That alone right there is worth flipping across a couple of benches over right there. Hallelujah. And I thank God this morning I know him for myself. And I see how people are tricked. Yeah, I see how they are easily tricked. But I know one thing, God is real and he can be real in you if you will allow him to be. He will give his spirit as a gift. And if you would adhere to that spirit, it'll lead and guide you into all truth. It'll even tell you things. That's some foolishness right there. Because the Spirit, he know me personally, and I know him. You hear that? That's not God. That's man. How much about God you heard in that? He'll bless you real good. So you won't lean to your own understanding. And all your ways, you'll acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. You won't be wise in your own eyes. You'll fear God and depart from evil in the name of Jesus. If everything people think you don't know about them, that's what people know. If everything I think people don't know about me, that's what they know about me. And I accept it and move on in Jesus' name. I belong to him, not to people. I work for people. I belong to Almighty God. You can't control me. I'm controlled by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and I'm good today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So he's going to be talking to us about some things that's coming our way. And if I was you, I would pay very close attention. And I might would even go over the scriptures that he's given and take a deeper look at it. Yeah. And see if it's what he says it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, let's pray this morning. And after prayer, we're going to one more song of the day. And I just have a day for today. I want to read to you, hopefully for your listening pleasure, and that will encourage you and that will remind you, and you may want to follow suit. Read it too. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for all you've done for us, great and mighty things. We come this morning, Father, as an empty vessel before you. We ask this morning that you would fill us with your word, fill us with your spirit today. Father, allow us to hide word in our heart that we might not sin against you. And every situation that come up, help us to remember what your word said concerning you. Save us, Lord. Sanctify us. Fill us with your spirit again this morning. In the name of Jesus, we are asking. Lord, let it be clear that the gift of you is in us, your Holy Spirit. Father, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray without ceasing. Teach us how to always pray and not faint. Teach us how to pray in season and out of season. Anytime, for any reason, oh God, help us to pray. Help us to pray just to commune in fellowship with you. Help us to spend time with you, God. Give us a personal Bible study and give us wisdom of your word that we'll walk accordingly. In the name of Jesus, the hour of seriousness is here like never before, Father. Now is the appointed time. Hey, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your warning. Thank you for your preparation. All you want us to prepare. Help us this morning, oh God, to seek you with our whole heart and turn from our wicked ways in the name of Jesus. Father, you sent your word and your word healed us. Heal us through your word today in the name of Jesus. Fix our hearts. Heal our hearts. Regulate our minds. Heal our minds in the name of Jesus. For Father, it all starts in the mind. And we want this mind to be in us that's also in your Son, Christ Jesus. He come to please your Father. He come to obey you. Help us to please you. And do the things that are acceptable to you. Help us to be obedient this morning unto you and your word in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you today. We can't thank you enough. You've been there over and over and over again. Well, you never left us, Father, nor forsake us. You're following with us until the end, and we thank you for it this morning. We're grateful unto you. We appreciate it. Father, we love you today. It was you who first loved us. For being a real people, not a fake people, but a real people. We thank you for only wanting to impress you and not man. We thank you this morning that you gave us a sound mind. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for your power this morning. You gave us power, love. We thank you. Stir up the gifts of love in us the more and strengthen us, oh God. As your love is shown, as your love go to work through us in the name of Jesus. We bless you today. We lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we lift you up this morning. You said if you lift it up, you'll draw all men unto you. We want to lift you as high as we can. And Father, we want to give you the highest praise, hallelujah, unto his majesty. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. It's serious time, oh God. And we need you here. We need you to fix the mind, oh God. Regulate it today in the name of Jesus. Help us to keep our mind on you. It's you that will keep us in perfect peace. Help us to walk in faith today. Help us to believe that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Help us to diligently seek you, O God, in this hour, in the name of Jesus. Like never before, Father, like never before. Like never before, O God. We seek you many times, but we want a special seeking unto you to prepare for your return and to prepare for what's coming our way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We ask that you would bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here today, oh God. Move by your spirit. Bless your people. Feed us until we want no more. Teach your people what's your way, oh God, how they can apply it to their everyday life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have your way here. Have your way here. Move by your spirit here today in the name of Jesus. However, Lord, you want to do it, it's all right with us today, because whatever it is that you're going to do, it's only going to bless us in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. And Father, we ask that you would bless every caller and every listener, every family member represented here, every household represented, friends near and far, family members near and far today. Bless, Lord. COVID is still hanging around. People are still afraid and still going through it. Prices of food and gas and everything has gone up, basically, Father, and your supplier of need, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Supply for your people today. You are our shepherd and we shall not want. It's you that even will prepare a table before the very presence of our enemies. Father, we know you can take care of us. Open doors and make ways for the people today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that you would bless those this morning here that are sick. Heal, Father. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. There's yet healing in the hem of your garment. Lord, I ask this morning that you would lubricate joints, that you would heal blinded eyes, oh God. Lord, many have diabetes and they may be heading to blindness. And Lord, I ask this morning in the name of Jesus that you would touch and heal today those with many illnesses, heart problems, and many things, God, that the doctor has diagnosed and is true. So, Lord, we ask that you would send your healing power today to heal our physical bodies, Lord, to heal our minds in the name of Jesus. Do it for your glory. Give us a total healing, physically, mentally, and spiritually today, because many are spiritually sick, oh God. Help us today to get it right with you. And help us to know the truth, because it's the truth that will set us free. And Lord, any fake prophet, any fake preacher, God, help us not to listen, oh God. Send your warning signs so we can turn away from what is not you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. God, I ask that you would bless Yusuf, bless Brian, God, today. Bless Donald. Bless Leonard this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, where Brian is concerned, God, it's not our will, but your will be done. But Lord, we pray that you would do just what you already able to do. Have your will, have your way in his life in the name of Jesus. Save and sanctify and follow. Filling with your spirit today in the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit for him, Lord, in a mighty way. Keep him safe from all hurt and danger. Loose your protecting angels, if it be your will, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Father, bless bereaved families and intercessory people everywhere. Preachers preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless our brothers and sisters overseas, excuse me, everywhere. Lord, we ask that you would pour your spirit out upon them the more. And that you use in your service. Lord, many have to hide. They can't even say the name of Jesus out loud. They have to sneak and have Bible studies. Lord, move these your servants in the name of Jesus. Bless their family and friends. I'll move today in a mighty way, oh God. And Father, we ask this morning that you will continue to bless America, the United States of America. Continue to bless, oh God. Lord, we ask that anything, even in this country that's not of you, that God, you would cast it back to the pits of hell. And Lord, where evil men are coming together, we ask that you would send your fighting angels, if it would be your will, to destroy the works of evil in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Every caller and every listener today, lift them up and bless them, Lord. Like never before, in the name of Jesus. Loose money, God. Loose cars and houses and payments and bill payments. God, whatever they stand in need of today, food, oh God, shelter. Do it, Lord, for your glory. We give you glory and honor, and we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for doing it for us. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing for us right now. Thank you for your healing power on our knees this morning. Thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. All glory to his majesty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, yeah, yeah, ha. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The songwriter said, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Ha! Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Hey, Jesus lifted me. Oh, I can sing that. I'm so glad. Oh, Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Ah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, y'all need to get happy and give him praise this morning. He's working on our behalf. He's moving for us today. And we thank him. We thank him. Hallelujah. There's none like him. Oh, yeah. We can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God who have all power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah, today we have Pastor John Lama King. I think that's the way to pronounce his name. John Lama King. I think that's it. John Lama King. Yeah, I think that's the way to pronounce his name. And his message is, if people only knew what is coming, that's his message. And so we thank one to the Lord that he is a God of preparation. He would prepare his people before in the way. And I'm in the book of Revelations, and I always go back and I look at this because it's sharing a message of Jesus Christ. He's about to expose before everybody. Everybody's about to get to know he is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He sent the message to a servant named John. John was in exile. He was out on the Isle of Patmos. And the scripture say he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. thank you, Jesus. I just want to read a little bit, and then we're going to one more song, and we're going to bring Pastor, what did I say his name was? Lama King. We're going to bring him in. So I just want to look a little bit at this. You can tell where I'm at. And I thank God for it this morning. Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave unto him to share unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. Now it says, shortly come to pass. Yeah. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Yeah. John to seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Forever and ever be glory and dominion unto him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I like reading it right there. It helped me, too. It helps me a lot. Thank you, Brother Lewis, for posting script. Yeah, it helps me a lot because it helps me to remember many different things. Who he is. He's coming back. His word is true. Yeah, all of this. And then he called us kings and priests. Yeah, his servants. And I'm thankful. Thankful unto him that he feel that way about us, because he don't have to. He really don't have to. So I'm thankful unto him this morning. Listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. This is a request, and I got it in this morning. I have a few more, and I get them in. Bear with me, and I'm going to get every request that I have. If you want to resend them, but I think I have the list right. I have Wind of God, Chained by Tremaine Hawkins, For Years, Everything and Because of You, I think it's the name of one. And Everything, I See Miracles. So I'll be playing these because all of these is by, I'm sorry, y'all. The Ministry Years, Keith Green. I think he's the one that's saying Because of You. And the Ministry of Ye, I mean the My Everything and I See Miracles, Joe Metal. And we're going to get some stuff done. But we're going to this request of the morning. And I like it. I like it a lot. And I enjoy doing this. I get a little busy, and so some things have to take a back seat. But I'm going to work on putting the songs in there more often, the requested song. Hallelujah. Let's go with this one this morning.
Hello? Am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh yeah, I'm a music major.
Somewhere to run.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Isaac Kari this morning and in the middle of it. And I can remember years ago when he would say, I don't think y'all clapping. I wanted to say, we clapping. And I used to laugh at myself for many days about that. But we thank God this morning for good gospel music and how he gives men and women the mind to write and to put a melody to it, lyrics, and then put a sound to it. And all the music, it don't sound the same. There's a difference in it. Tremaine is different from Vicky Winans. Yeah. And it's just beautiful how God has created things and how he's made things. I love the trees riding down the road in the fall and riding up to the prison. I remember that, you know, and look at fall colors. Yellow and browns and tans and oranges and greens, and yes, just saying the way God has created things. So we thank him. We thank him for all he has done. When we look at the rivers, we look at the oceans, and look, I don't know if anybody else loves fish, but we can get fish out the river, fish out the lake, fish out the pond, fish out the ocean. All of this is the creation of God. I didn't put any fish nowhere in the river, nowhere in the ocean. God did it. And man go out and bring back fish from the water. You know that's God. That is God. He can put a seed in the ground and it'll bring up a stalk of broccoli. It'll bring okra up. Yeah, God is an amazing God, made the heavens and the earth. Yeah, and the same God is on our side today in spite of us. He's a God that looks beyond fault and yet need. He's a God that if the whole world is against us, he is more than the entire world being against us. He's more. Why? He can change it. He can turn it around. If he chooses to, he can wipe the whole world out and leave. He's got the power. All power. All power. There's no higher power. I don't limit God. I can doubt him. No need to. He's been sure. Oh, he's been showing me that his word holds true. Even with finances, his word holds true. You open a door with finances and make a way. I had no clue where he had stuff, what he could do with what he had. Because the earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world. You don't have to be rich. You just need faith. You just need to trust God and be a giver. Plant seeds, but you got to plant seeds in good soil. And the seeds are coming back. I plant seeds to those that will spread the gospel all over the world. Inspirational Ministries. Dave and Barbara Sorello. Yeah, I plant seeds because they go all overseas spreading the good news of Jesus. And when I tell you, God bring back a harvest according to what I give. He loves a cheerful giver. Find your ministry that you can plant faithfully in. My first time, oh, I could tell y'all some things. I'm telling you, God is faithful. And expect the harvest back when you plant. If you don't have money to plant a seed daily or weekly or however you want to do it, ask God to give you seed to sow. He gives seed to the sower. You want better? You want to do better? Plant a seed. Lord, I'm planting this seed for more money. I'm planting this seed for a better job. I'm planting this seed for healing. I'm planting this seed for my children. I'm planting this seed for my husband. whatever it is, to something. It works. It works. I promise you, it works. I don't care if it's $10, $3, $4, $1, 50 cents. Plant that seed and assign it to something. Because God is not like man either. Of course, the bigger you give, the bigger your harvest. But he knows what's in your purse. He knows what's in your bank account. He knows what you got. So all the sodas people drink, all the expensive lunches and all this stuff, sacrifice and take it. I'm going to save this lunch money for a week. I'm going to save this soda money for a week. I'm going to drink water. Or I'm going to the store and buy me a big container, a Tang, or whatever healthy for you to drink. And I'm going to drink and put the soda money up. At the end of the week, I want to see how much I have, and I'm going to plant a seed with that money. When I tell you seed planting works, yes, it does. I'm a living witness. I'm able to do Blog Talk Radio still for $100 a month because of seed planting. I'm able to pay excess bills that I wouldn't have been able to pay for had I not planted seeds unto the Lord. And it's my heart's desire. $1 million seed unto the work of the Lord. $1 million. And I know he'll multiply it back and I'll be able to plant $5 million, $10 million unto the Lord. Yeah. I'll be able to buy some houses for people, homes, cars, farming. Yeah. I believe that and I'm waiting on it. But shall renew their strength. He's renewing mine daily. I didn't even know what was going on. When I know anything, I was in Spanish and learning. That's the vowels and consonants. Yeah, doing better in a way than with American English that I'm supposed to be speaking, that I don't understand, but speaking. Yeah, learning masculine and feminine and singular and plural. Yeah, God is faithful. And when I get so far along, then I plan on getting on with the keyboard. It's still in the box. I couldn't believe the price of it that he gave it to me for. God did it according to my heart's desire. And one day maybe I'll be able to play for a church. Yeah, free, free, free. No charge, absolutely free. Yeah, because I'm playing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is an on-time God, and he is faithful. And we thank him for his faithfulness, yeah, unto us, towards us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we're going in with Pastor Lama Kane, John Lama Kane. People only knew what was coming or what is coming. Yeah. So let's take a listen.
Hello, friends. Welcome to 3ABN Worship Hour. I'd like to extend a greeting to you from our family to yours, and we would like to pray and ask for the Lord to guide our minds for this very urgent and important message entitled, The Coming World Blackout. Every time the Lord gives me an opportunity to share from his word, I always need to know that what I'm doing is in harmony with God's will. And I don't want to make any attempt on my own effort to give glory that only God is worthy of receiving or to receive glory that only God is worthy to receive. But I also want to pray that God will send his Holy Spirit, that your mind and his word will find a meeting place and our lives will be empowered by the work he does. So let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that we can open our word, which is in fact your word. We can open our Bibles. But even more than opening the Bibles, we pray that you'll open our hearts, open our minds. Speak to us in a way that you know each one of us is capable of understanding and capable of receiving. Take this message and find, I pray, that heart, that mind, that life that not only needs to hear what is proclaimed, but also needs to be empowered to live in harmony with what is proclaimed. And so, Lord, I give you my hearts and hand and mind. Use it, Father, for your glory alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The coming world blackout. A number of years ago, my wife and I lived in Fairfield, California. It was August 10th, 1996. We had just arrived home from church after preaching at my local church, not too far away from where we lived. And as was the case every day or every Sabbath, we pressed our garage door opener, expecting the garage door to go up, but it didn't budge. Well, in my mind, I thought, well, I didn't press it correctly, so I pressed it again, and the garage door didn't budge. And I thought, well, maybe the batteries died. So I took the battery out, put it back in, shook it up. You know, we do things to try to somehow find power where there is none. And the garage door would not budge. And then I tried to find alternative ways to get into the house. But then I realized that we had shut the doors and windows tightly. I'm a native of New York City, and I know that it's a habit of mine that even still today I practice. I make sure my car doors are locked, my keys are in a safe location. I make sure my windows are shut when I go away and the doors are fastened tightly. And so, in essence, we locked ourselves outside of the house. But then I noticed something. I noticed that people in the community were coming outside of their homes looking bewildered, and I could not help but asking them what had happened. And I heard people talking amongst themselves. They're saying, the power went off. Everything in our house has stopped working. It was daytime. The impact was not immediate. But then as I listened, I found out that there was a blackout in our neighborhood. I turned on the car radio to find out more about it, and I found out that the blackout was not localized just to our neighborhood, but the blackout had affected Northern California. And as I continued listening, it bewildered me, it shocked me, because the commentator said it's not just Northern California, but the entire West Coast, including Western Canada. And as I listened, I found out what the cause was. I was told that a power grid had failed. Because of the intense heat of the summer, they said that the power grid had been overburdened and they did not know when the power would come back on. And I thought to myself, if I had only known the blackout was coming, I would have made decisions. I would have made provision to do something differently. Friends, we spent the greater part of the afternoon in our vehicle waiting for the power to come back on. When I think about that, I think about what the Word of God says. If the people of the world only knew that there would be a coming world blackout, to define that even more, the day is coming when everything that we rely on will no longer be available. The banking systems, all electronics, all means of communication, everything material will lose its impact on our lives. All the things that we have leaned on and learned to trust in and rely on will no longer have any effect at all. And everything in the world, not only economically and socially and electronically and all forms of communication, but there's going to be something that's even darker than the material impact of this coming world blackout. And Isaiah the prophet describes this coming day. Isaiah the prophet gives a stark, vivid description to the coming world blackout. Listen to his words in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." And look at the impact. "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." What an amazing day the Bible is describing. A day of darkness. A day that's not going to just cover the people. It says darkness will cover the inhabitants and gross or dense darkness, the people. When you think about why Isaiah the prophet wrote this, he's emphasizing that this approaching hour is one of unavoidable darkness. And when you study this, the Bible is in essence saying, only those that have prepared for this hour will shine when this dark moment arrives. You see, the world has arrived at a time of unpredictable apprehension. A lot of people today are concerned about what's going to happen in the future. They have no idea what's coming down the pipe. We are confronted by something called an indiscriminate contagion. We're coming out of COVID. We're coming to normalcy. But on the horizon, there is still this apprehension, and the question is being asked, what's next? And we're hearing about this Delta variant, and people are saying, I hope it is not as bad as what just passed by, until they hear on the news, it could be more deadly, more intense, more effective, more infective, and people are wondering to themselves, not again. But that's not the only thing. We live in a world that's racked by calamity and disease. And when you look at the Bible and you begin to see how this worked in the Old Testament, using Job as an example, we begin to see that calamity and disease are Satan's tools to prepare the world for its ends. And there is an irreversible, fearful anxiety hovering over humanity. But let's add to the picture. Let's add to the picture that God sees. Let's go to the West Coast. Unquenchable fires that are consuming life's accomplishments in seconds. People that thought that, let me move out of the city and find a nice, comfortable, safe place in the country, only to realize that we are living in a season of drought, where lake levels are lower than they've ever been before in some states, where water is beginning to be rationed and they can't even use that to water their lawns. Something's happening in the world that's letting us know that there's an unexplainable, fearful sign just on the horizon. And when you put those categories together, medically, socially, economically, and religiously, the citizens of our world are paused in a solemn awe about the future that's coming to this world. Men just really don't know. And the bottom line is, men are not reading the Word of God. Thinking men are not able to think beyond what they see. But God's word gives evidence as to what is coming and what our responsibilities are. One of my favorite authors writes this quotation about what's coming down the road. We read in the book Testimonies for the Church, volume 9 and page 43, these words. "We are on the very verge of the time of trouble and perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of are before us." Think about that. Scarcely dreamed of. Stretch your imagination. Reach back into the experience of some of the things you've seen on television and maybe some of the things you've seen in movies. And we are told that the perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of are before us. Well, let me make it very clear. This is not an attempt to frighten you into accepting Christ, but this is an attempt to awaken us to the hour that's coming, to the things that are unavoidable, to realize that in this hour, where evil is fueled with a demonic intensity, God is saying, what is coming has never existed before. And he's trying to awake his people. He's trying to say to us, this is the hour to get ready. If ever there was a time that the people of God should be awake, this is the hour. And when you study God's word, you begin to see that evil angels and evil men are uniting in a coalition against righteousness. And Revelation makes it very clear that the final contest between light and darkness, good and evil, Christ and Satan, in this final battle, there will be no middle ground. And if you've known that, if you understand that, it makes sense to make our decision now as to where we're going to stand when that hour comes. Because Revelation expands the picture and adds another brush stroke to what Isaiah the prophet has already said. Look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. We are told in this book of apocalyptic understanding, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But look at the next phrase. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Satan is working with demonic intensity. His coalition is building. Religiously, his coalition is building. Immorally, his coalition is being built. Men of greed and hatred, as 2 Timothy describes, this crumbling society, men that have a form of godliness, religion that has run off the tracks and has gone away from righteousness to just entertainment. What a world we're looking at, and what a picture the Bible is describing. And why is this happening? Because the devil has come down with great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. Well, the fact is, time is short, but the question is, what preparation are you making for this trying hour ahead of you? How should you respond to the knowledge that we're living in the time of the end? What should we do? And what difference should there be between us and the world, knowing that God is saying it is not even sensible for the people of God to hear this and remain unmoved by it, to remain complacent, to do nothing to prepare for what's coming? Well, the prophet Joel not only describes this coming calamity, but he does something else, which I praise God for. He instructs the servants of God concerning their responsibility. Look at Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice what he says in this descending hour of darkness. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion. In other words, wake up the church and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. In other words, call the people to urgency, but he expands it. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, and look at his description. For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. And look at his description. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Joel the prophet, Isaiah the prophet, John the Revelator are saying, brethren, this is coming. God is giving us instruction. I like to follow instructions. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think I have it put all together. I think I have my mind already calibrated to what's coming. But then when I read the Word of God, it's like addressing or listening carefully to directions given by our GPS. Because sometimes we drive and our feelings may say go left or go right, but when the GPS points us, we begin to say, wait a minute, what I thought was happening is not in fact what's really happening. You see, Joel the prophet is saying, this is the hour that God is saying to his people, it is time to turn up the volume. It is time to turn up the light. It is time to ignite the gospel candle. And that's why we are committed to the proclamation of the first, second, and third angel's message. It is a message of urgent appeal. Now, when you think about it, in an hour of darkness, what do you need? You need light. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. And as a pastor, I've often said to my church members, are you studying your Bible? How much time are you spending in your Bible? And I'm saying the same to you. Is your Bible close enough so that when descending darkness comes, you will be ready, because the Word of God has been hidden in your heart. It has informed and ignited your life. and your life will be the one that's shining when this darkness comes. Because Isaiah the prophet said, if your light is shining in this hour of descending darkness, people are going to see it. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Meaning God intends to turn up the light in the life of his people. He's calling us to an intensity, a reach, an emphasis that the everlasting gospel in this hour of approaching darkness, the everlasting gospel says that there is still hope, even though the horizon has a foreboding of darkness and gloominess. And that's why in this age of descending darkness, Zechariah the prophet tells us what we need to be doing. Not only the proclamation of the gospel, but notice what he says. When we proclaim the gospel, God is going to turn the gospel up to another level. Look at Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. He's saying to us, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of blessing, grass in the field for everyone. Notice what Zechariah is saying. He says, ask. Are you asking? Are you praying? Are you saying, Lord, I need the latter rain in my life? Or are you comfortable with just a remedial, humdrum, nominal Christian life? Are you comfortable just going to church, sitting for a sermon, and going back home and falling into complacency? Or is there an urgency in your household? Are you leading your family before the altar of God daily in prayer and Bible studies? Are you putting down the devices and picking up the all-powerful Word of God? It is by the study of the Word of God that two things happen. One, we become informed about what's coming. And secondly, God begins to ignite us by putting His Word in our lives. And let me tell you something. When the Word of God enters your life, it begins to affect your life. It begins to guide your thinking. It begins to become your guiding light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It lets us know that what is before us is either good or evil. But you'll never know that unless God's word is a part of your daily study. But not only that, not only will the message be empowered, but the people of God will be empowered. And I can tell you today, the church needs to be empowered. Because when you look at modern Christianity, with all the trials and difficulties, God is saying he does not want his church to end less glorious than it began. And there are many people that are comfortable with the phrase Christianity or being church members, but their lives are not growing. Their experience is not flourishing. And God is saying he wants to empower the church because we do not have self-possessed vitality. There's nothing in us that can ignite us because Paul says, I know that in my flesh nothing good dwells. But God wants to galvanize the latter-day church as he galvanized the early church. But he's saying to us that there's only one power that can make the difference. Look at Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. He tells us about that power. So he answered and said to me, speaking of the lampstands and the oil, he said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. What is the word? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Notice, not by might, that's programs and ideas and outreaches and things that are happening in our church. It's good to have programs. That's a sign of an active church. But when the church is growing, when the membership is flourishing, when the person's life is being ignited by the work that God is doing inside of him or inside of her, something else happens. It goes from just programs to conversion. It goes just from great ideas to the church becoming empowered, unified, strengthened. All the walls of division go down and the walls of unity hold the church together. But the life that the church needs is a prelude to the life that the Lord knows we can have. But we have to understand where this power comes from. You see, the prelude to a life of power is a life of prayer. I'm going to say that again. If you want your life to be a life of power, it has to begin as a life of prayer. simply meaning before the church can stand on its knees, the church has to learn how to bow. Before the church can stand on its feet, the church has to learn how to bow on its knees. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a response and not a prelude. What is it a response to? Let Acts answer the question. Acts 1, verse 12 to 14, speaking about what God did on that day of Pentecost. The Bible says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying." Look at those who were there. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. But look at what it says in verse 14 about this illustrious crowd. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." What's happening in the upper room? What took place in the upper room? Let me make a very important point. Before it took place in the church, before it took place in Jerusalem, before it went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth, it began in the upper room. Now, when you look at that list of names, I know that Peter was different from James, and James was different from John, and John was surely different from doubting Thomas, and Philip, the evangelist, was surely different from Bartholomew and Matthew. They had all their differences. But the Bible says, when they got together and prayed, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." You mean to tell me that when they got together and prayed, walls came down? That's what the Bible is saying. When they got together, not only the men, but also the women that came from Galilee that followed Christ, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. God created a unity. God brought down the walls that they had before, because when you study the disciples' lives, you begin to see they had a lot of contention. Peter was the one that spoke quickly and thought last. His mouth was in fifth gear. His mind was in first. James and John was contending for seats in heaven as their mother requested, "Sit one of my sons on the right hand and the other on the left." But when they got together and prayed, they became less of the focus, and the work of the kingdom became the most important focus of their lives. It empowered them because God was about to do something on the day of Pentecost, and he needed the disciples, now the apostles, to lay aside their differences and get ready for the outpouring of the early rain. Now let's look at the comparison. The early rain, what the Lord did to prepare the church for the early rain, is what God wants to do to prepare the church for the latter rain. Now, this is very important. This is vitally important because a lot of people are contend, you know, we excuse the behavior of some of our church members. We say, well, you know, that's how she is. That's how he is. He's always tempestuous. He's always angry. He's always in controversy with somebody. Brethren, we can't expect to be in controversy and angry and divided amongst ourselves and expect the Holy Spirit to be poured out on a divided church. That's why they got together and prayed. What does prayer do? Prayer humbles us. It doesn't change God's mind. You see, God wants us to pray so that he can reveal to us the weak walls in our lives, the weak places of our character, the things that we think that we should not be thinking. God wants his church to be empowered because an empowered church is evidence to the world that Christianity is alive and it's real. But if the world sees a divided church, what appeal could a divided church be to a divided world? If the world sees a church that have members that are at odds with each other, what appeal could a church at odds have for a world that is at odds? If the world sees a church that is bound in sin, what appeal is a church that's bound in sin to a world that's bound in sin? God wants the church to be different. God wants to bring the church back to life. And that's exactly what God assures us he can do. God can take a church that's dead and bring it back to life and then fill that church with the power that it needs to accomplish an urgent work in these last days. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 5 and 6. Notice what God promises to do to the church that needs vitality. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Ezekiel was standing in front of a valley of dry bones, and look at the word that the Lord says, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You see, Ezekiel is painting a picture of a people empowered by a vitality that is beyond their natural abilities. Ezekiel is saying that we cannot possibly, by our own strength, by our own intellect, by our own understanding, possibly accomplish a work that only divinity can accomplish. Now, why is that the case? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're living in a very real world, a thirsty world, and men are running to and fro looking for something to satisfy their thirst, their hunger. But they're looking in places that will never satisfy their needs. But what would happen if men of the world and women of the world and leaders of the world begin to see something happen to the church as they saw it happen on the day of Pentecost? What would happen if they see people that are like Peter in character that gets converted, and the Lord says, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren? What would happen if they see people like Thomas who used to doubt that doubt the Lord no longer? What would happen if they see people like Philip that are content in the position he's in, all of a sudden becomes an effective and empowered evangelist? What would happen if they see a man like a tax collector finds conversion at the feet of Jesus and goes out and begins to be active in empowering the church to accomplish a divine mission? You know what happened to these men that we read about? What happened in their lives caused the world to be turned upside down in just 34 years. And get this, it wasn't that many. Began with 12 and the numbers expanded. But on that first day when God poured out his Spirit, 3,000 conversions happened in a day. What am I saying? I'm saying that if the church is just content with sermons and music and all the religious activities without praying for this earnest infilling of the power of God, it will never understand what God really wants to do. He wants to empower the church. But listen to this quotation. It opens our minds as to what God is showing us that he wants to do in our lives. It comes from a book that I value very highly. It's a book about evangelism, and it comes from page 699 in paragraph 5. Listen to what it said. As the time comes for it, that is the message of the third angel, to be given with greatest power, the Lord will work through humble instruments. What kind of instruments? Humble instruments, leading the minds of those who consecrate themselves to his service. And watch this. The laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of his Spirit than by the training of literary institutions. Men of faith and prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God gives them. Notice what's going to happen. They're not going to allow society to say, you can preach this, but you can't preach that. And we're living in a day and age where so many laws have been passed to authorize and approve things that are not approvable in God's sight. And men are today becoming fearful of preaching what God has given to them. But God is saying that he is looking for men like Joshua and Caleb. At a time when people are looking and thinking that things are impossible, God is looking for men like Caleb that says, we are able to overcome it. Caleb was a man that existed during the time of the journey of the Israelites. And just before they crossed over into the promised land, God gave the leaders of the different tribes in Israel a glimpse of the promised land. But they saw obstacles. They saw the giants. They saw the people that were great and strong. They saw people that were far greater in number than they were. And instead of saying that God can give us victory over these obstacles, they said, we are just grasshoppers. What are we going to do with the obstacles before us? Well, friends, what's the problem? The problem was their focus. They saw the obstacles, and the obstacles to them became bigger than the God that sent them on this mission. He gave them a glimpse of what he was going to bless them with, but they focused on the obstacles. And I would suggest today that a lot of what's happening to us, a lot of what is happening to the church today is where they are focused. If you focus on the problems more than the problem solver, you will feel the very same way. The world makes us look like grasshoppers. It makes us look like we cannot do anything to impact it. But if you remember what God did on the day of Pentecost, when he turned these ordinary men and women into vessels of light, he turned the world upside down, and the word of God continued to progress and cause division and concern in the kingdom of darkness. But what did God do? He turned up the light. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He turned up the light, and he's saying the same thing for us. What does God want to do for us? He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God is saying, wait a minute. You want to be a witness? Let me make a suggestion. I firmly believe that one of the reasons why people are uncomfortable about witnessing is because they think that witnessing happens only as I finish the course on how I could witness. You know what course of witnessing the disciples had? They prayed for the Holy Spirit's infilling. The Lord trained them as he walked with them, as they walked with him. But they went from head knowledge to life activity when they prayed for the infilling of the Spirit of God. But notice the Word of God says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Is there power in your life? What do you feel as a church member? And I use the word feel because many of us go by feeling. I don't feel like going to church today. I'm tired. I don't feel like going out and giving out tracts in the community. I don't think people want to hear about that. These disciples, these apostles went out, and in spite of all the obstacles, they turned Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Antioch, and the surrounding cities, Philippi, they turned the world upside down. And kings tried to stop them. Governors tried to stop them. The Pharisees and scribes tried to stop them. The officials in the cities tried to stop them, but they could not. And the word of God grew and multiplied. Why? Because they changed their focus. They were no longer focused on the cities. They were focused on the Christ. They were no longer focused on the authority of man, but they were standing on the authority of God. And I can tell you, I can look back in my own life and realize that the transitioning point from who I was to who I am continually becoming is when I pray and ask for the Spirit of God to be in my life, for the Spirit of God to guide my life. And I've seen lives turned upside down. I've seen people ignited by the power of God when they say, Lord, I'm at a standstill in my walk with you. I want something different. I want to ask for the power that I need. I don't want my Christian walk to end humdrum. I need that infilling power. We are told that the church is not going to end on a wet noodle note. The church is not going to fizzle out. It's going to be more glorious than it was on the day of Pentecost. I go back to an article written in 1914, and when Christians were concerned about this, I was thanking God for this Signs of the Times article. It was written February 17th, 1914, and notice the encouraging words given to the Christians of that era. Christians, ask in faith for the promised blessing, and it will come. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostles was the former rain, and glorious was the result, but the latter rain will be more abundant. The latter rain will be more abundant. What do you mean more abundant? It's going to be more powerful. It's going to be more glorious. It's going to be far greater than it was in the localized area of Jerusalem. It's not just going to be Jerusalem. It's going to be New York. It's going to be Detroit. It's going to be Miami, California, all the major cities. It's going to be from the East Coast to the West Coast. It's going to be in Canada and in Europe and in Asia and in Africa and the Caribbean. God this time is not going to light up just the local part of the world. He is going to light up the world altogether. But something has to happen, which Satan is working tenaciously to try to prevent from happening in the Christian church. What is that secret? Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. You see, this is a powerful passage. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now watch this. God ignited the church at its inauguration. God also wanted to ignite the church as it's preparing for its coronation. God ignited the church when it was small. God wants to reignite the church as it becomes a mighty army in all parts of the globe. But what happened? And this is where there's a caution I need to add right here. Right now, the devil knows that when we argue over doctrinal differences, when he brings in thoughts and ideologies that cause us to question things that God's Word has confirmed through the decades and through the centuries, when we know what God's Word says and someone comes to uproot that and supplant that with theories and ideologies that are not supported by God's Word, what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to break that one accord that God is intending for the church to have. He wants to bring in division. He wants to weaken the church because he knows that if we could begin to argue over whether or not the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, the church is going to get weak. He knows that if we begin to reinterpret prophecies in Daniel and Revelation and begin to add what we call contemporary applications and say, well, that no longer applies, which is happening on a large scale, he knows the church becomes divided. And a divided church cannot be a united church. And a united church is the only condition that God is looking for to pour out his Holy Spirit. But look what happened. The Bible makes it clear in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. What happened? The first impact record is recorded there for us to understand. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 41, then those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, don't look at the souls being added to them part, first of all. First of all, look at what they did. Those who gladly received the word. Don't look at the baptism yet. Those who gladly received the word. What's your attitude toward the word of God? Are you gladly receiving the word of God, or is the word of God a stumbling block to you? I remember meeting with a family. My wife and I called them the three ladies. They came to our church, and they came from a different denomination. And they responded to our church by a revelation seminar that we were giving. And they came. One came, then the other came, then the other came. And they began to hear things that were out of harmony with what they had believed. But what they did, which is what God instructs us to do, is to check out what is being proclaimed by God's word. So they did that. And they took it back home. Well, that one lady became two ladies. And then the third one followed. And when the series was over, we were able to baptize seven family members. Husband and wife of both women, sons. God created an amazing harvest. Why did he do that? And how did he do that? Because they received the word of God. They gladly received the word of God. In these last days, the world is distracting us so much that people are not glad to receive the word of God. But God has given us the ability. God has given us various tools. God is saying, maybe they're not able to read the Bible, or maybe they're not ready to read the physical Bible. And this is where God is saying to us, be creative. Don't use Facebook for propaganda. Post scriptures on Facebook. Use your Instagram to put things there that will activate the minds of those looking at your page. Don't tweet divisive statements. Tweet the Word of God. Connect Sabbath school lessons to that. Connect websites that will teach somebody the Word of God and begin to ignite in their lives so that as they begin to grow, they can gladly receive the Word of God. And then what happened? The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 44, Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. So notice,
amen,
the first thing I pointed out is that before we can stand on our feet, we have to bow on our knees. And when the unity of Christ is being developed, unity in Christ precedes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit is needed. But unity, the thing that we must pray for and work towards is unity. My wife and I have discovered this beautiful passage, and even after many years of marriage, we disagree on certain things. But if I disagree and she disagrees, we say, let's go to God in prayer. Let's put down the walls between us and ask for the Lord to give us a unity, not based on our likes and dislikes, but based on the instruction of God's word. Pastors and leaders, God is saying the same thing to you. When the church is confronted with division, bring them to the place of prayer. Pray for them to have a receptive heart. Work with them to bring down the walls of division and guide them to the place where they can be unified together. Because God can take Pentecostals and Presbyterians and Methodists and Catholics and Anglicans and Lutherans and every other ism and unify them together. How? When the Word of God becomes the focus of their minds. Why do you think the devil will try to keep you away from God's Word? Because he knows if they believe the Word of God, they can have all things in common and they can believe and be together. Unity in Christ is a precursor to the corporate outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this quotation. It comes from another favorite book of mine called Testimonies, Volume 7, page 236. Listen to this. It is God's purpose that men entrusted with responsibility should counsel and pray together in Christian unity. And here's the reason why. In unity, there is a life, a power that can be obtained in no other way. There will be a vast power in the church when the energies of the members are united under the control of the Spirit. And look at the promise. Then will God be able to work mightily through his people for the conversion of sinners. Wow, it's amazing. When we are united, God takes over and begin to work for the conversion of those who are not yet converted, for the strengthening of those who are weak, for the opening of eyes for those who are in darkness, for the guidance of those who have no compass at all to give them wisdom as to where to go next. And that's why the devil fights as difficultly as he does. He wants us to be bound in this coming world blackout. He wants us to lose power by having no access to the very things that can empower our lives. And I've said it a number of times, and I'd say it again, this is the hour that the only reliable light on the planet is the unalterable, the reliable, the never-ending, never-changing Word of God. And when you look at the New Testament church, you find something. You see, when the Word of God got into their lives, violent opposition rose up against them. But something happened. When the violent opposition rose up against them, the church still grew exponentially. Because here's the point. When men stand against you and God stands with you, nothing that man can do can prevent the blessings of God from coming down. What kind of blessings did the New Testament church experience that God wants us to experience? Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. But look at the key again. I don't want you to miss this. The number of those who heard the word believed. You see that word? It's one thing to hear the word. It's something altogether different to believe the word. When we hear the word, it's one thing. It goes into our auditory nerves. It begins to inform us. But when we believe it, it begins to transform us. I'm going to say that again. When we hear the Word of God, it informs us. But when we believe the Word of God, it transforms us. You ever wonder why your week is so busy? You ever wonder why the children always make noise when you pick up your Bible? You ever wonder why the phone rings when you say, let's take some time and study together? All these are Satan's distractions. And that's why I've said to my wife, and we have practiced this in our home, if you're studying your Bible and the phone rings, let the answering machine get it. Let it go to your voicemail. Don't be controlled by the things around us. You must be more determined than ever to allow God's word to permeate your life. And if the devil knows that you're sitting before a meal that's going to empower your life, he's going to do everything in his power to distract you from that. But what about those of you that are living in an environment where you are surrounded by conflict in your home? Conflict maybe from your husband or your wife, family members turning against you. What do you do in those situations? You begin to trust God. What do you do when people that you trusted turn their backs on you? You continue trusting God. Because there will be persecution. There will be difficulty. But at no point will God allow you to go through what you cannot handle by his grace. And so when the persecution comes, when the difficulty arises, God will still be your strength and God will still be your defense. What happened? God added to the church. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. In fierce resistance, the church continued to grow. And so don't expect resistance to go down, but in the presence of fierce resistance, God is going to still bless his people. Notice Acts 5 and verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Multitudes of both men and women. We were visiting the country of New Guinea. It wasn't too long ago, and my wife and I were there, and I was having a series of meetings, and a young lady approached us and said to me, she said, you know, I wanted to give my life to the Lord last year, but my parents told me I'm not old enough yet to make that decision. And I want to give my life to the Lord again. And I said, young lady, how old are you? And she said, I'm 22. I said, you're old enough to make your own personal decision about your life for the future. And so with tears in her eyes, she said, Pastor John, Sister Angela, can you pray with me that I won't be fearful of my parents? Because when they hear that I'm going to be baptized, when they hear that I am baptized, they're going to get angry with me. They've already threatened me. Because she came from a home with a different background. I won't mention the religion. She said, they're upset with me. They don't want me to join this church. They don't want me to be baptized. I said, young lady, give your life to Christ. It's your decision about where you're going. And so as they were having the baptisms, and one school student after another was being baptized, and she stepped into the baptistry, and the pastor said, I know your family is rejoicing over the decision you're making right now to be baptized. And she turned and looked at my wife and I with tears running down her eyes because we knew that her family didn't even know. We knew that her family was not rejoicing about her decision. But when she came out of that baptistry, she said, thank you for giving me the courage. Thank you for giving me the courage and the strength to make a decision about my future. Because if anything happens, she said to us, if anything happens to me, I want to know that I've made the decision for eternity. And so the question is, what obstacle is standing before you? What is Satan threatening you with, preventing you from giving your life to Christ? Because I say it again, the coming world blackout is not far away. Everything that humanity has relied on will one day be gone. And if we don't make decisions for eternity, then we cannot stand when that time comes. But this is the hour that multitudes are still being added because God wants to empower his church. You see, the day of Pentecost took place only in Jerusalem. But when the day of Pentecost comes this time, it's going to take place around the world. Just imagine, when God pours out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it's going to be in every corner of the globe. Can you imagine? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on every continent. Denominational walls will crumble. Seekers of truth will be liberated. Tradition will be surrendered to a plain, thus saith the Lord. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Things that people held on to, dissatisfying rituals will be abandoned for the reliable word of God. The light of hope will be rekindled in the lives of those who have been downhearted. And repetitious dogma will be traded for a life surrendered to the power of Christ. Let me pose a question and answer the question. Why does God want his church to be empowered in the way that he wants them to be ignited in these last days. Why does God want to turn the light on in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Why does God want to empower those who have the three angels' messages in these last days? Here's the reason. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 16. Here is the reason. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." What is the Lord saying to us? It is in this hour of challenging circumstances that God is saying, wait a minute, I'm not content to have my people just strewn in all these various corners of the world. I want to gather my people back into my fold. I want to bring them to the place where truth abides. I want to bring them to the place where the commandments of God are sure. I want to bring them to the place where the Sabbath is established. I want to bring them to the place where tradition is not more powerful than truth. That's why the Lord says in John chapter 4 and verse 23 these following words. Notice what he says. And this is an amazing thing because it's all about time. He says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, and those who worship him, notice, must worship in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus is looking for. He's calling on you, young lady, young man, to worship him not based on what your parents did or what your grandparents did or what your great-grandparents did, but he's saying, this is the hour that God wants you to pick up your word, pick up the Bible, get on your knees and say, "Father, what do you want me to do in this hour of descending darkness? What do you want me to do in this hour when the world has gone mad? What do you want me to do in a world that has lost its bearing and is seeking to ignite our lives from one thrill to the next? Lord, what do you want me to do?" Young lady, young man, the world as it has become will not return to what it used to be. This is not the world that's going to get better one day. Even if we could return the world to what it was years ago, the sad history of humanity is this. There'll still be pain. There'll be heartache. There'll be suffering. There will be death. There is no lasting peace and safety found on this planet. There is no security found in the banks, in the financial institutions. There is no lasting pleasure found in the movie theaters. There is no lasting joy and satisfaction found in the social media pod of our generation today. The only lasting peace and joy we can find is in the person of Christ Jesus. What kind of world is this? Political instability on one side, social insecurity on the other, financial insecurity on one side, and rising unemployment on the other. A morally crumbling society on one side, and a racially divided society on the other. A world divided by ravaging diseases amidst the society of mistrust. It is in this kind of hour that God is saying he's wanting to reignite his church. The world coming blackout is not too far away because the world is rejecting the only answer to the darkness that is around them. But when you open the book of Revelation, the light is turned up. Revelation illuminates the pathway to eternal peace and tranquility. And I know that's what you need. Revelation shines the light on a message that can prepare the world for the soon return of Jesus. And friends, I'm encouraging you, pray for the infilling of the Spirit of God. Pray and develop and train yourself to increase an appetite in holy things because nothing happens by chance. We've got to become personally, spiritually responsible for the way that we are developing our character. We've got to make choices and decisions because we are living at the most pivotal hour in the history of the world. Everyone's destiny is about to be decided for eternity. It's life or death for the inhabitants of this planet, and no one is exempt. So what are you looking for? What are you praying for? Every one of us is going to be on one side or the other of this coin. in the final showdown between light and darkness, there are only two choices, light and darkness. And the question is, in this hour of approaching darkness, in this hour when the world is going to be wrapped in a dense darkness that it has never before experienced, the question is, where are you going to stand? It's high time to get the three angels' messages to your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, people on the streets, and you'll be fulfilling the most urgent call for the hour, the most earnest mission of heaven. The darkness is coming. The hour of descending darkness is coming all around us. The clouds on the horizon is forecasting something about to break as an overwhelming surprise upon humanity. And where are you going to be? What are you going to do? You see, while the world is heading for a blackout, the people of God are preparing to turn up the light. Isaiah the prophet says it one more time. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. And here's my appeal to you today. Pray, Father, ignite my life. Turn on the power of your Holy Spirit in my life. Make me a living sacrifice that someone may find the light and find Jesus. God bless you.
Hear the diesel humming. Daryl Dixon on the saxophone. I believe there are many ways to worship. Amen. We worship with our words. We worship with our instruments. We can worship with our entire bodies. My only prayer is that it's pleasing to the Lord. That's our only prayer. Only prayer that pleases you, God.
There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those, Lord, whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the kingdom throne, yeah. So people get ready, there's a train.
You know, I'm talking about worship. And right here is my good friend David Watson, plays the flute as well as the saxophone. In fact, he considers himself more of a flute player even still than a sax player. At least that's what your old man said. This is your turn, man. Sing on to the Lord a new song.
Just
Let's thank the Lord right now.
Let's thank the Lord right now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, New World Sun. People get ready. There's a train coming. Uh-huh. Don't need no baggage. Just get on board. Oh, I thank God that we could just load the plane, the train. We could just get on it. when the time is right and we just ride. Hallelujah. Riding him. Everything been paid for. Ah, yeah. And so we're grateful this morning unto Almighty God who have all the power. There's no higher power. I'm excited. Amen. Goes right there. On the excitement this morning. Because God is faithful to us. Oh, he's so. I never knew anyone was as faithful as he is. Yeah. And I'm grateful unto him. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Louis, I believe real darkness is coming. Not just spiritual darkness. But physical darkness is coming. And people think they was going through something over COVID. That physical darkness coming last a while. People not used to that. And let me tell you, God will prepare you for things. Do you hear what I say? He will prepare you. We just got to get our minds right. I even heard him say, don't your problem, your situation be bigger than your God. What we got to learn to do is let go. And remember God. Lord, I'm giving this to you and I'm walking away because there's nothing I can do with it. But I'm trusting you to fix it for me. I'm asking you, Father, fix this for me today. When I left Florida and went to Alaska, on my way there, I forgot all about darkness. Because if you've never been there, you hear people say all kind of stuff about it, like they've been there and they've never been there. But you know how people are. I'm guilty. I've said stuff about places I've set my foot in before, feet in before. 6 months of darkness, this, that, and the other. Like, okay. But on the way flying, it took me 23 hours. I spent the night in Anchorage in the airport. Rested good, guys. On my plane the next morning, on into a place called Fairbanks. When the summer comes, I wasn't looking for this, y'all. 24 hours of daylight, nonstop. It never get dark in the summer months. You look out the window, 3 o'clock in the morning, as if it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Sun shining bright high. High noon, that's what it looks like. But it's 3 a.m. in the morning. I remember I got on the computer one night. And when I knew anything, it was 8 o'clock a.m. in the morning, let's say. I'm like, what? I've been down here all night. I thought it was still early because I wasn't looking at the clock on the computer playing around. When the winter comes, it turns light at 10 a.m. in the morning. It turns daylight at 10 a.m. See, I was used to at least by 7 o'clock you see daylight. But I only saw daylight at 10 a.m. At 3 p.m., it's back dark again. All went along. You can tell when the spring comes. They call it the breakup, the ice on the ground where the snow been packed down so long. It starts to melt and turn into a slush. And in some places, it's the black, rich dirt mixed with the frozen ice. They call it black ice. You got to be careful on that. You need deep grooves in the bottom of your shoes or boots to come on that, getting out your car and all of that. So when I got my first job there, I had to go over there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Pitch dark like it's 11 o'clock at night. My son-in-law was going to drop me off, and then he would go on to work. I said, Vince, I'm not used to this. He said, me? You act like I was born over here. I don't know if I can do this. He said, oh, yeah, you can do this because I do it every day. You'll be all right. You just like at night, you want to go. You jump in the van and you go wherever you want to go. Now you just go out and jump in it and come on to work. I was like, look at this. So many amazing things. And they told me that people had cabin fever because it's dark and they stay in the house. And many lived alone. If they were single people, they had a hard time. I didn't have no hard time with daylight or the night. When my clock, my inward clock says bedtime, Barbara, you sleepy. It's 10 o'clock, 10:30. I go get in the bed, wake up the next morning, get dressed, and go on to work. Summer or winter. Some had aluminum foil up to their windows. They had black curtains for the summer to keep the sunlight out. Have no problem with nothing. Yeah, the Northern Lights. Beautiful, Brother Louis. Beautiful Northern Lights. I used to go down to a place called Allison, and I could see the Northern Lights. Absolutely beautiful. There was another place called Sasha, and all in front of it, they sold homemade ice cream and different treats. And in front of it, they had animals carved out of wood. And they looked like the real thing. They had a huge ant. They had carved out of wood. It looked just like a real ant. A deer, a fox, they had all of that outside. And we went up one year for ice cream because when holiday would come, my daughter and son-in-law and their three kids, we would all get in the van and I would be the designated driver. My daughter-in-law and her husband would sit all the way on the back seat of the van. My oldest grandson would sit in the front with me, and the other two would sit on the second seat. And I'm just driving them around. Well, let's go look at this. Let's go look at that. And we were just touring. And one day I said, wait a minute. I said, every time we get in the van to go somewhere, Ben's running back there sitting with his wife. I said, and I'm up here driving, doing all the driving. He just laughed and continued to sit right there with his wife. So we went out for ice cream. We would go and investigate different things. Even in the dark, we had places we would go. So if you're not in God, he's not in you, you're going to have a hard time adjusting to darkness. People had a very hard time adjusted to this pandemic when they had to stay in the house, especially for those 2 weeks. Every now and then you would see somebody out doing something because I had to go somewhere and get something or something. You see one or two cars on the road. Not as many as it is now. But we want to get ready because the train is coming. And we want to have our ticket so we can get on board. Well, what's your ticket, Barbara? The word of God, we got to have it in us. We got to know his word. We must have a Bible study life, a prayer life. Yeah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I saw Sister Diane earlier, and I was intending to speak to her, but she must have to leave because I know she was taking her granddaughter out of school some mornings, but I saw her number in here earlier, and Mr. Spinner is flying all over the country today, having fun, enjoying herself. Yeah. So look, Brother Louis, if you let me know what year, we can try and plan a trip for Alaska. We can plan a trip for Anchorage or Fairbanks, either one of those you'd like to go to. Now, Fairbanks is the furthest north. That's the sport like Jacksonville to Florida. We're the farthest northeast. So Fairbanks is the farthest north of Alaska as far as cities go, where there's stores and homes and that type of stuff. Out in the bush and small villages, you have to fly. You fly into town, get your groceries, go shopping for clothes, shoes, or whatever, and then you fly back. You won't get packages and all of that like that out in those small villages. All right, we're praying for healing. We're going to touch and agree and pray for healing for Brother Louis so that maybe in the year of 2023, in the summer, we can plan to go to Alaska. Listen, to everybody that's not used to it, who has never been there, it will still be very cool to you. Yeah. Now, when I lived there, I got used to the summer. So I didn't wear jackets or sweaters anymore. I wore what I wore here in the summer. But now if I go back, I know the summer would be very cool to me, not be cold to me. And it's like 80 degrees. But for me, it would feel cool because it's a different kind of 80 degrees, different kind of weather. Yeah, beautiful. My daughter showed me pictures of the snow falling yesterday. They had a lot of snow fall. She said she went to the store and she forgot something. And she was only gone maybe 30 minutes from the store. She had already shopped and she had to run back and get some sesame oil. And she said when she went back outside within 30 minutes, her car was full of snow. She had to shovel it off again, scrape it off. Yeah, I remember those days. Scrape the snow off your car. You plug your car into a plug to keep the engine warm, keep the engine, you know, the oil warm, keep it from freezing. I used to have a shower, get to work, and about 15 minutes till I'm getting ready to leave, I would flip the switch off. And when I went outside, I left the heater on in the car because auto start. You start your car. When you get to the car, it's nice and toasty. It's nice and warm. And your car will start. If you lived in an apartment, each one of those apartment parking spots had a wooden pole with a plug on it, like an electrical outlet. And from your car, there's a plug that comes from your car, and you plug into the pole. And it keeps your oil warm, you know, and when you leave the heater on and auto start your car, the next morning it's nice and warm when you get ready. But you walk through mounds of snow to get to your car. So I was Timberlands with the deep grooves on the bottom, that kind of thing you wanted to get. And I'm telling you, in my closet, it was a shoe factory. Because I had so many shoes and boots and goose down and, oh boy, a pair of underwear. Jeans, you don't want to see a pair of jeans. Now, jeans is for another state. It wasn't for that one, for me. It looked like the jeans froze. I don't care. And you layer your clothes. You know, I would have a T-shirt on, a thermal shirt, and then whatever I was wearing, you know, the turtleneck. And, you know, put my jacket on. A nice, thick jacket, insulated, yeah, with the hood. Because when that, in that, coming into March, that wind would, it was like it would cut through you. Because, see, you're walking up hills, down hills, yeah, so you would dress accordingly. And a house nice and warm, you know, central heat. Not too much central air. We didn't really need that. We opened windows. Turn our air conditioning in there. I think I would have froze, you know. It was hot, but it wasn't that hot to me like Florida hot. But God blessed me that I could be in that dark and function properly in the dark. And I thank him for it. When I first got there, my daughter was driving. And I'm like, how you know where to go? Solid ice road. She said, well, I've driven it so much. I just know the road. No lines, no nothing. This car stay on their side, you stay on your side. I had to drive from Fairbanks up to Anchorage. Went on vacation, the job paid for it. And I had a beautiful time. I went over to a hotel that was called Tudor Hotel. And a Japanese lady ran the hotel. She owned it. She had bought it. And one morning I was out on the balcony just looking, and she walked up and we spoke. And I said, it is just beautiful. She said, yes, it is. I said, I thank God. I'm from Florida, and I thank God I got the opportunity to see this. She said, yes, God is so good. What? And we had church right there on the balcony. I told my daughter, because her and my three grandsons had over with me, because if I drove up, she was going to drive back, or I drove back and she drove up. And she said, Mama, the lady, I said, he's no respecter of persons. I done told you this. It don't matter race, culture, skin color, not how, text, none of that matters. He will come in with whoever will allow him to come. He will accept anyone who will come to him and want him. He will give you him. There are all kind of people I've talked to, ministered to. Every nationality, basically. The Samoan people. Oh, I love them people there. Chris and Tino. It was Tino's birthday yesterday, Pastor Tino's birthday. He passed away a few years back, maybe 2-3 years ago, I think. And I love that man right there. There was nothing like him. And he would be speaking in a Samoan language, and I could understand the scriptures and how he was explaining the scriptures. That was the spirit of the Lord. His wife and I, Chris, we sitting by each other. And the spirit of the Lord, from one to the other, oh boy, look at here, wild word is coming forth. God is amazed. Oh, yeah, yeah. God is amazed. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God is simply amazing. There's nothing he can't do. But we got to let go and let God be in us and through us. We got to put it on the altar, whatever you're seeking him for, and walk away. Walk away. Be a giver. Put seeds in your life. I'm telling you, it comes up a harvest. Work unto him while it's day. When night comes, no man, hey, no man can see. Get your work in now. Obey God at any cost. Give up the world. Let the world go. They don't have nothing for you. You don't belong to the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And then we can just find it in us to just let go and believe God is real. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I promise you today, God will bless you in a way it will almost blow your mind. Because the earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. There's nothing too hard for him to do. He can open every door that needs to be opened to you. He can shut every door that needs to be shut. Yeah. He's Almighty God who have all the power. Hallelujah. Look at here today. God is faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful. I don't know other way to really I can describe him to you other than he is faithful. He's there for you. But you got to go to him believing that he is. You got to go to him, tell him what you want. I don't care what it is. Lord, I want to be a millionaire. Lord, I want the house to heal with the dog named Flussy. Lord, I want the big Bentley. I want the big Mercedes. Lord, I want a sports Mercedes. Lord, I want new furniture. God, I don't want to work no more. I want my own business. Whatever it is, take it to him and leave it there. Every now and then you might want to say something to him about it if he haven't moved yet. And the reason he haven't moved yet right now, it won't work together for your good. But when it will, he going to open a door. I'm telling you, he going to make a way. Oh, you don't even see the way because he is the way this morning. Listen, give it up. Let it go. God will move for you. He'll bless you with keeping your life. I prayed for something and God did it concerning a human being. I move so quick, close your mouth and stop stuttering. You asked for it, here it is. Because I forgot I asked for it. Went on about my business because I believe in his due season, he going to do it. Because anything God does, no matter how it feels to us, it's for our good. It's for our good. It may not feel good to you, but I promise you it's good for you. Look what he did with his son. Look what he did. He allowed his son to suffer for us. Why? It's good for us. It's so good the day that I know him. It's so good the day that I went to him and said I do. Come into my heart and live forever. It was good for me. Although his son had to suffer. Some days we're going to go through trials, but it's good for us. Because the trial comes to make us strong. It even comes to teach us lessons about God. Patience. Love. Obedience. It comes to teach us many things. It even shows us how it's like a block is in front of us. There's a big block wall all the way across, no way around it. And God just come and just slide the wall to the side. Not going on through. Huh? Sometimes he just come. We don't even see the door. But when he come, he opened the door and we just walk on through. Whole brick wall there, it feels like. No way around it. No way through it. It's too thick. But when he come, he opened the door right there in the wall that we can go through. But we must believe today. We must learn to trust and let go and let God have his way. I told y'all about my list of things I wanted done. I didn't get everything done in one setting. But if it's his will, on tomorrow the house will be pressure washed. And then I got to see what day the guy can paint it. Front, back, and side. Oh, y'all don't understand. I didn't see no way. I had to wait on him. I didn't see the money. I didn't see no way. He made a way. And what the guy is charging me, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. Why? He opened the door. The brick wall was there, but he cut out a door. Now, Barbara, go on through the door. You'll be all right. I'm telling you what he'll do for you. I want my own business. Well, Sister Barbara, I want to do something, and I want it to be an income for me, but I don't know what it is. Pray and ask God to give you what you like. Lord, give me what I enjoy and let it be something that will make me an income that will take care of me and my household. Lord, let it be something that will bless me to work and it won't be hard, but that this is what I love. I've heard so many men talk about their wives and they glad their wife got a business and they may not have to work. No, what in the foolishness of the nonsense? What? You the man. God put you as the head. And if you go to God and ask him to give you something to take care of your family, because, Lord, you said if I don't work, I'm worse than an infidel. I don't want to be no infidel, God. I want to be the man that you called me to be. But they done laid me off this job. I really don't know which way to turn. I need to hear from you. And Father, I need to hear from you today because in a minute, this woman going to talk about leaving me because I can't take care of her. The children going to be homeless. Lord, I need you to move. And God, I really don't want to work for man. I want to work for you. But I need you to give me something that I enjoy doing that, Father, it will cause me to have an income to provide for me and my family in the name of Jesus. You can look if you want to, or if you ask him to bring it to you, you don't have to look. Just wait on him. They that wait on the Lord are going to renew their strength, because when it comes, you're going to do a whole new thing, a whole nother thing. I'm not telling you what somebody told me. I'm telling you what he'll do from experience. How many heard me do Miss Muggs? You done heard me do all kind of things. Some things was just for Caesar, but he opened the door and it made an income to get done what I needed to get done. Why? I let it go. I believe that he is and that he's a reward of them that deal with it. I begin to seek him. I begin to allow my ways to please him the best that I could. God came into the brick wall and cut the door. Walked right on through the best. He'll even use that to work miracles for you. Glory. We not just want to sit back. Well, Lord, just drop it out of the sky to me in my hand. He can do it. He can do it. But the scriptures say a man don't work, shouldn't eat. So, Lord, give me something to do that will bring me income. I can work for it. It won't be hard work to me. It'll be easy for me because this is what I love. Hallelujah. He's able. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, roll call this morning. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. I see my 708 area code. 708, God bless you this morning. And Sister Rita, I'm going to do a double take. I played your song earlier. You hadn't got here yet, but I'm going to do a double take for you this morning. Good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you this morning. And good morning to you, Evangelist Robin Lynn Mavis. Good morning, Jeremiah Bullfrog. Good morning to you, Sister Jerry. And good morning to you. I think I said Sister Dorothy Goodman. And good morning to you, Sister Sion. Good morning to you, Sister Simone. God bless you this morning. Thank God for each and every one of you. And I see three people in here. Oh, Boatwright eased in. Good morning, Apostle Claudia Boatwright, our very own this morning. God bless you. God bless you. And good morning to you, Sister Mary Ann, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Melody Rose, Sister Angela from California, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, Miss Deborah, Sister Lex, Sister Andrea Stenner, which is away, and Sister Rita, Sister Simone, Sister Diane again, Sister Jerry, good morning, Sister Angela Foote, and Mama, Sister Anna Lee Foote, good morning, God bless you this morning, and a good morning to you, Sister Kim Hawks, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluka, Sister Lisa, and Sister Yvonne, God bless you this morning. Good morning to you, man, holding that chat room down, the one and only Brother Louis. Good morning to you. I told Brother Louis, I said, I had to go get me a peanut butter sandwich and a cup of coffee. I had to have me something while Pastor John was preaching. Yeah, I had to have it today, y'all. Good morning to you, Brother Jermaine. God bless you this morning. Brother Anthony again, Brother D. God bless you, Brother D. Praying for you, bro. Good morning to you, Brother West Perry. Got you on my prayer list. Been thinking about you, Joy West Perry. Praying that God is continuing to bless you mightily, man, mightily. Good morning to you, Brother Mike Hawks. God bless you this morning. God bless you, Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, Brother Marquez Griffin this morning, and Brother Cal. Yeah, good morning to you, brothers. God bless you. Praying your strength in the Lord. Pray that God will open the door for you as men and that you will be the lender and not the borrower, and that God will open every door that you won't open for your family, that you can do even more for them. Yeah, and that your ways will please him so God can come quickly and do what he wants to do for you, what you ask him to do for you. God is faithful. God is faithful. And I know he used women. He used women. But that man in head. And I believe he did that because he made man first. And he made man, to me, out of a different kind of cloth. Yeah, I can remember days when my ex-husband was home and I was, we was raising children. I was more of a softer cut of the cloth than he was. What he said, he meant. I would say things, and then I would think about it. Well, no, I won't do them like this. I'm going to do it like that. Yeah, to make things easier for my children. But men are different. And we cry. Women will start crying right now. Give us a minute. We'll cry. Men don't do all of that. It's like water rolled off a duck. I'm not saying they don't cry. They don't have the emotion to cry. And I'm not saying they don't get emotional at times, but they don't get, to me, as emotional as we get and as quick as we get emotional. Yeah. I've seen men cry at weddings. I've seen men cry at funerals, a baby born, different things. But we'll just cry over how beautiful we made a cup of coffee. Oh, look at the color of it. No joke. We can pick one flower and just look at that flower and just get teared up. Oh, there is just so beautiful. The man will look at that flower and say, it sure is pretty. Not a tear. He don't care nothing about all of that. Rough, rugged, and real. I can't get up on the ladder and put nothing up in the ceiling. Okay, Brother Lewis, God bless you today. I speak the blessings of the Lord upon you over your weekend, you and Sherry. Have a blessed weekend. Yeah. Men don't do all that. I can't get on no ladder putting up nothing. But it took a long stick, stuck it up in the ceiling, unscrewed that light, pulled the stick down, took the bulb out, put another bulb in there, put it right back up, then turned it right. It was nothing for him. I would have been crying. Went out there to the garage. The garage door was off alignment, on the line. He went there and did what he had to do on that side, did what he pushed the button up and down the door. I'm sitting in the chair looking crazy. Fionn giving me the eye. That's what he do all day. Baby K, that's what he do all day. He works that. See, I can't do all that. That's throwing some garbage, dumping a garbage can. You got to be kidding me. Cutting grass. I don't cut no grass. Might be a snake in the grass. I don't want all of that. On the side of the road directing traffic. Okay, go ahead on and do it because I won't be out there with you. Now, if you need me to tie something up for you, you need me to research something, you need me to cook a meal, clean, wash a dish, wash some laundry, call me. You need me to dispatch people some stuff, I can do that. But all that manual, the deep, dark heart, well, no, keep it over there with you. Get the manual. Because I'm not built for that. That's not my, what they say, forte? That's not my forte. That's not for me. Yeah, God made it different. We cut from it. And he made the man stronger. And he should be the head. Yeah, he should be able to lead his wife in the right path. But he can take what I can't. I lived with a man before. And he was rough and real. I'm talking about rough, rugged. Ooh-wee. And we had gone to the store, to the neighborhood store, like a little community store, like a 7-Eleven. And we was walking back laughing and talking. And I heard these gunshots. And I was looking crazy. I'm sure I was looking crazy. He said, hey, it's all right. It's coming. Come on. And he put me in my hand and walked me on home. Like nobody had did no shooting. We could have got shot. He didn't even think like that. See, that was my thinking. His thought was, well, come on, if you're scared, let's go on and get in the house. I'm panicking. I'm ready to just stand there. And in a minute, just screaming. I don't know. But men are not like that. And they can look at some stuff. They can see somebody bleeding, and they can look at that. You think, oh, no, I can't take all that. No, I don't want to see it. By the dead, they walk right over there with a dead person. I don't do all of that. Yeah, I could do a funeral now. I'm strong in that, but to be playing around dead bodies and all that, I don't do all that. My son is going to mortuary, getting ready to go to mortuary school. I prayed against it. Don't y'all tell him I did that. Because I say he comes and be touching on him, and he all over there fiddling with dead people. That's not me. And so I prayed against it. Next thing I know, he was working for the sheriff's office. Yes, sir, and yes. I can't tell him this. And he wanted to go in the car. See, he wanted to become a police officer that was driving a beat. No, I don't want you out there either. Yeah, I just got one more exam to take. I said, let him fail it. So I'm praying for him, and I trust you, Lord, but I think he need to be in the streets like that. Let him work inside that jail and do what he needs to do, lock him up, unlock him, whatever, and go on home at night. Yeah, and it's all right. But not my will, his will be done. And I'm grateful unto the Lord. Is there anyone have something they would like to say? The studio is open. Feel free to press that number one and come in. And Brother Anthony, yesterday you blessed me real good with that testimony. And I'm thankful unto the Lord for you. because I know God is moving for you, and changing and fixing and rearranging in your life. And I know some things you may not understand, but trust God, it's going to be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Jerry's sitting back quietly today, praying for me. And I thank God that she understands and that she can pray with me for Brian Gent. I need y'all to please lift him up in prayer, Mr. Brian Gent. He's one of my prison pen pals. So lift him up in prayer. He needs your prayers. And if y'all can remember all the prison, all the jails, ask God to bless these people. Because I know many see, ooh, them criminals, I'm afraid of them. Listen, Jesus went that way. He went to jail. Went to prison. He was innocent now, but it don't change the fact he was there. And they crucified him. So a lot of times God put these people in places where they can be protected from themselves. A lot of times God have a calling. They won't listen because they're too busy running. But when God set them down for 10 years, they got time to think. That's all they got time. He can speak to them now. They're going to have an ear to hear. Many will run to him because they don't know what they expect when they get to prison. But many have found him there, got out, and stayed with it. Everybody don't get jailhouse. God come in and save men and women for real. It's some prison ministries you've never heard of doing a great work. Some of the most talented people you ever want to see are in prison. Talented. They think Denzel Washington and all. Hey, Brad Pitt. That's my boy right there. I love that Brad. I can't help it. He was the one who told me this stuff was going to come out about the Hollywood pedophiles. And he was the one who first told me that. He said, you watch the internet out here now. It's going to come out. You're going to hear about names you never thought you would hear. And I did. Bill Cosby, all names. But some of the most talented people are locked up. And for me, how in the world, with all this talent, could you do wrong? But see, the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. He stole their mind. Yeah, he stole their ideas. He stole their will to do right. I'm just telling you, all that talent, and they ended up. And it's sad to say it, but I love going. I love going to see them. I love it. I love it. I'm going this weekend. When I see them blue uniforms or them white uniforms with the blue stripe up the side, it excites me right there. God is pleased. When I was in prison, nobody visited me. He said, and when you did this, you've done it to the least, the mind. Some people say I'm crazy, but that was one of the greatest experiences I ever experienced in my life. Taught me a lot of good things. To go to prison, not going to prison to do wrong even the more. But it's some things they can use from there when they come back out here that they'll never have to go back there again. They get a clear mind now. Thing is for real. Somebody got me locked up. I don't want to be locked up again. I used to often think on a Sunday evening what it would be like to take a drive again. Especially in the fall. I'm locked up. What fall you going to drive in? Right back up in Bethune dorm. That's where you going. Oh, but one day they turned my key. Hallelujah. God set me free. And I was able to drive anywhere I wanted to drive. I was able to go anywhere I wanted to go. And I had been there. I obeyed the rules. So when I got back out here, I taught myself how to don't jaywalk. Not because you'll go to jail, but it's wrong to jaywalk. It's a rule. Follow the rule. Patience, all of that. God bless me with some things right up out of there. Yeah, because if he blessed us to go through stuff today, Now that we saved, we sanctified, we filled with the Holy Ghost, he allowed us to go through some things, look back at that and see the hand of God and the blessings of the Lord that he did for you. Trials come to make us strong. I know people think I'm crazy, to make us strong, and we can learn so much from it. I wasn't angry that they locked me up. I deserved to be. I kept doing what they told me not to do. They tried to work with me. They tried to threaten me. Now, I was just going to do what I wanted to do, and God was just going to show me, no, you won't. I then said, stop it. You override me what I say, so I got something for you. And when I got there, I wasn't angry with anybody, the judge or nobody else. If I saw him today, I'd shake his hand and thank you. I would tell the prosecutor, thank you so much, sir. You had no idea what you was doing for me. But I looked at it like nobody gave me an invitation to come up here. I barged in on these people. I'm not a guest. I put myself in here on them. So I can be expected to be treated like a guest. But I can act respectable and treat them with respect, and let's see what happens. I ended up with a good report. I never knew the lady. Her name was Miss Frazier. She was a correctional officer. Did they testify Friday? So I'm just testifying. Her name was Miss Frazier. Had snow white hair, Caucasian lady. Beautiful snow white hair. And she was dainty and one of those real ladies. She walked as such, Miss Frazier. To me, Miss Frazier looked like she had to be around 63 or 64 years old. May have been older. I don't know. I didn't know this lady paid me any attention. She never said nothing to me. When I would come into the dorm, because she was the dorm officer that controlled the control room of the dorm. And I would say, good evening. She would say, good evening. And that would be it. Miss Frazier never talked to me, none of that. One day this young lady made me real angry. I just got to tell the truth. Said something that, because me and this one person, had become friends. I was teaching the Bible on the creek. She didn't want everybody knowing her business, because she considered herself a homosexual. But she was trying to come out and, you know, give us scriptures and prayers and different. So this other girl told her family, she was saying around the dawn, oh, yeah, Barbara Mack done told so-and-so family she in lockup and what she in lockup for. That was a lie straight out the pits of hell. I greeted her family and said hello to them. And I told him what a wonderful person she was, and, you know, that she was studying the Bible and praying. And I was like, oh, that's so wonderful. And the family was happy. I knew this would be. I knew they would be happy about this. So when this devil running around saying all of this, it could have caused me and this girl to get into a fight. And I would have had to beat a brain out. I'm just honest. When I heard that, I said, hey. I said, why are you lying? You don't know what I was talking to them people about. And she said something to me. All I saw was a broom. And I picked that broom up and I went out there with that broom. And see, you can't go over to somebody else's area where they sleep, they dress and all. Let's just say their bedroom. You can't go in somebody else's bedroom. I had checked up in there, you understand, with that broom. And I was about to put the what's happening on it. And I heard Miss Frazier. She said, Barbara, come here a minute. And when I heard Miss Frazier, it froze me. And then I turned and looked. And I put the broom down, you know, to the floor. And I started walking behind Miss Frazier. She said, well, just come on to the office. I need to talk to you. I said, okay. I was kind of embarrassed because Miss Frazier saw it. You know, she's a lady. The kind of have the umbrella out in the summer, you know, to keep the sun off of her. More like a Lovie Howard type from Gilligan's Island. So I go, she said, Barbara, I never saw you act like that before. What's wrong? And I explained to her, she was like, well, Barbara, Don't do that. Don't let people make you come out of your character. That's not who you are. You're not a violent person like that. She said, and Barbara, I saw you. You really was going to whip her up with that. Nah, I wasn't going to whip her up. I was going to beat her up with that broom. That's what I was thinking. She said, well, listen, I'm going to need you. Just go outside and just sit for a while and just relax and calm down, and I'll take care of her. She said, you're not like her, Barbara. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's all kind of people, and some people are worse than others, and you're not like her. I hope you understand. You know, she talked to me real good, and I went on out to sit on the bench and everything, but I just wasn't happy. I'm out here on this bench, and she done told a lie. I want to sit on out there and thought about it. Do you want to go to lock up or get a DR? What you want to do? So I calmed down, had me a coke, and then I went on back inside. Well, when the girl come out of lockup, who had told her family all this foolishness, I went to her. She said, Mike, you ain't even got to go there with that foolishness. She said, Mike, I know you. I know that ain't what you did. If you did anything, you went and told my family something good about me. Mike, you ain't go to my family with no foolishness. That's not even who you are. I said, she said, man, I don't want to hear that. What time is the study? And where we going to study at? I don't want to hear that, Mac. I said, okay. And I went on. But you learn some good techniques. You learn some good knowledge in prison. If you got to mind, if you messed up in your head, I recommend you don't go. Because you have come out a bigger fool when you went in. Because you're going to continue to try to just party in prison. I saw it. You can tell what people are about on the street. You can tell people who may have had a family, but they wasn't family oriented. They didn't care nothing about no children, husbands, none of that. They was about the party life. A lot of them was on drugs, this, that, and the other. Yeah, so if you're a fool, I recommend you don't go. But I don't recommend you go at all, to be honest. But if that's where you land there thinking you need some assistance and get you some while you're there. Because many of us should be in jail or prison, but we escaped it. We was never caught. There were many more things I did besides kiting that I should have went to jail or prison for. For I was just never caught. And I thank God I don't have to turn my nose up at people. Not because I've been to prison, but because I've done wrong too. I just wasn't caught for everything. And the scripture, again, it says, when I was in prison, you didn't visit me. Pastors in ministry, they sent other people up there from their ministry to go visit. Yeah, I want to go myself. I want to be Apostle Paul of this ministry. Go lay hands and pray. And I was surprised they let me touch folks last week. I was shocked at that because there is no physical contact. Don't you hug your husband or hug your wife. They didn't play all that, but things have changed. They don't even search you quite in the way they used to search you. But they get the search on now. They're going to touch you. Yeah. God is good. And so I just want to share all of that this morning and tell each and every one of you, I'm praying for you. I thank God for each of you. And we thank God for his word today because his word hold true. And we thank him today that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But we must be in him, and he makes us a new creature. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful unto you, Lord, and we appreciate you. So listen, we still have a little time if anybody. Oh, brother, you know I'm about to miss you, brother. Wait a minute. Good morning. God bless you, Brother Anthony. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Barber. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
First of all, good God, thank you for my Bevel Smith. Thank you for allowing me to see another day, another thing before. Thank you for asking my lives. Thank you for who he is and me, what he's doing in me, where he brought my phone, where he's taking me. And I just give God all the honor, glory, and praise. Thank you more than you do. This morning, Ms. Barbara, Brother Lewis, Brother Frank, Sister Rita, Dion, Samoa, Kim, Thomas, Brother Firehouse, one of you, Sister Patricia Lucas, one of you, and one of the Brother Jermaine, Brother D. Good morning to the Terry, Sister Annalisa, Mother, good morning to you this morning, and my just calling me in the room. And I just thank God, I forgot you, got distracted right there, but I just thank God for y'all and everybody listening. I got you this morning. I try to remember your next run. Just thank God for fellowship, and I thank God for that word this morning as well. You know, just God confirming, you know, that he got me. So I just stay focused on him and let him guide and direct my path. You know, I'll be all right, you know, in my walk. So I just thank God for fellowship, coming together every morning and be able to, you know, talk and laugh at times, and, you know, time to laugh, time to play. Well, I can say play, but, you know, they enjoy, you know, one another. So just thank God, and as y'all continue to pray for me, I pray for y'all, and as y'all play travel wrestling for me this morning, I'm on my way to Chattanooga, Tennessee, so I just ask that y'all let you agree with me for a safe trip there and back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got you, Brother Anthony. We got you. Hallelujah. Chattanooga. Ooh, Tennessee, they playing my song up there right now. Yeah, I went there before with the senior bishop. And I went there, Brother Anthony, and gave a word from the Lord and brought him on back home because he was up there with those people. And he was going to stay. I said, oh, no, we can't have a bishop up here. I said, yeah, our bishop. And the Lord told me what to tell him, and he came on back to Birmingham. Tennessee. Yes, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? We're going into our weekend, and I pray that the Lord bless our weekend and bring us back Monday morning. Another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And on Monday, I have another powerful message. And, We're preparing for what's coming, and we're preparing also for the return of Almighty God, hallelujah. And so we thank him today, and we give him glory, honor, and praise. So listen, if no one else have anything to say, I will pray us out this morning, and we pray to bring us back again Monday morning. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that has been said and done today. Thank you for Brother Anthony calling in. And thank you for your word from Pastor John this morning. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And as we depart this weekend, you know we stand in the need of. And Lord, I ask that you would give seed to those who desire to sow. And Lord, let them give, expecting a harvest. And let them assign their seed. Tell you why they're planting it so that you can bring that harvest back up to them. In the name of Jesus, thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Those that stand in the need of finances, Lord, open doors and make ways for them today. Money answereth all things. It's your word, oh God. And we give you glory for it. Every caller, every listener, bless our going out. Bless our coming in. And Father, meet the need again in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask it all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings this weekend, starting at November the 12th, 2021, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I'm going to the last one of the morning, but Brother Frank blessed me down, and I'll be able to give a couple of Thanksgiving bags of grocery away, fresh food, fresh out the store, nothing from a pantry. Hallelujah. And so I'm excited about that. And I'll go shopping for that real soon and get as many bags of food as I can to give away. And so we thank God. We know he'll increase it. He'll do like he did with the fish and the loaves. Hallelujah. So we're going to our last song of the morning.
Yeah. Jesus, you're my everything, yeah. My everything is you, Lord, yeah.
song, beautiful song.